Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Stress or Trauma. And we're going to teach you what the difference is, or actually, Kimberly is going to teach you what the difference is and how to tell, because we all have stress every day, but trauma is very different and gets locked in the body, and it actually gets in the way of your clients being able to physically heal. We don't think about that a lot. It's not talked about that a lot in, you know, Western medical type circles, but it's a very important piece, especially when you're working with clients who just aren't getting well in spite of your best efforts at giving them good advice and them trying really hard to follow the good advice. There's something locked in their system. And that's what Kimberly is going to begin to uncover tonight and share with you, how to identify some of those things and how to tell the difference. So before we get right in and I let Kimberly take over, I just want to introduce you to Kimberly a little bit and tell you a little bit about her. For those of you who don't know her, a lot of you know her already, have been in some of the transpersonal energy work with Laura Fine, and Kimberly has been, you know, she's a an assistant teacher in some of those, and she's a participant in others of those, and so a lot of you have met her. But she's been working as a holistic practitioner for over 25 years. She combines her skills as a functional nutrition practitioner and somatic trauma therapist to help clients achieve optimal health. Her true passion is teaching people how to resolve past trauma that's at the root of physical and mental disease. She's currently in our NEPT, Nutritional Endocrinology Training Program, and working on completing her certification there. She also sees clients in private practice. She runs group program. She teaches as part of the faculty in the Transpersonal Energy Healing with Laura Fine. And she has been a coach in my programs, both privately with clients and also as part of our year-long energy recharge inner circle. So she is a lot of skills and a lot of background and a lot of training and certifications that she brings to the table. So without further ado, welcome, Kimberly.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Rita Marie. You know, truly when I started working with you and studying with NEPT, I found my tribe in my home, and my practice has grown so much because of what I've learned with you and the part in your team. And I'm so grateful for knowing you and getting to work alongside you, especially to get out this really, really crucial information and to have the platform to share this with people. I'm just thrilled. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to continue to share this stuff with people, because so much of us are, well, all of us, I believe, in our modern day world are bombarded with stressors constantly. But for, like you said so well earlier, so many of our clients are doing things right. They're following the protocol, and they're very proactive, and they're really trying to heal and having some success maybe, but for many clients, they can't quite get over the hump. And often it's because their system is blocked with past trauma. And so I really want to take the time tonight to give you a map of the nervous system to kind of help you see the different stages of stress, give you a definition of them, and kind of have a sense of what's happening in the system and what can go wrong and cause stress, chronic stress, toxic stress, or trauma to be a problem. And I'd like to be really clear that having a stressor or even something as intense as a trauma doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be problems down the road. Mm-hmm. If we have support and we have the ability to resolve the situation and allow the system to reset back to normal, stress and trauma doesn't cause disease. However, when it gets blocked and we didn't have the opportunity to resolve it within the nervous system gets dysregulated, and downstream, over time, all of the systems of the body can be affected from that unresolved stress or trauma. Right. So I like to be really clear, just having stress or trauma doesn't equal disease. It's the unresolved, block stuck stress and trauma that does cause disease. And now we know that chronic stress in the medical community is starting to really understand this. They say that chronic stress is linked to the six leading causes of death in America. So that's heart disease, cancer, lung ailments, accidents, cirrhosis of the liver, and suicide. And about, 75% of office visits are based on stress-related of concerns. So luckily, the medical community is starting to understand that stress is a big contributor to dis-ease. But I don't know that many of the practitioners know what to do with it other than, you know, tell you to go meditate or take some antidepressants.
Right. So, right. Take anti-anxiety meds or antidepressants. And that really doesn't solve the problem. I believe it just buries it deeper because it's not allowing people to feel at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And you have to feel it to heal it so that it can be resolved out of the system. So if we're just masking symptoms and we're not feeling it, then we're really, we're buffering our ability to heal, right? We're repressing our natural innate ability to resolve the stress and trauma and move on to a great, healing place. So it's important to be able to define the difference, I believe, between stress and trauma. So I'm going to go ahead and just start my slideshow if that's all right. And
yeah, I'll just mute myself.
Please just jump in anytime you have a comment.
Okay. I'll mute myself so that it's quiet. And then if there's something that, or if I see some questions coming up in the chat that I would like clarification on any points before we go on, then I'll present them to you, but I'll just get out of your way and let.
All right. So as I was saying to Dr. Rita Marie earlier, I wish that I had a lot more time because it is such a big topic. So I'm not going to go deep into each of these points, but I do want to bring up quite a few points. So I have a little slide presentation to share with you. And again, if there's any questions or comments, Dr. Rita Marie can jump in and interrupt me at any time. So I'm going to share my screen here. So stress or trauma and, let's see. I actually see something here. It's in my way. Okay. Stress or trauma. What's the difference and why does it matter? My arrow is not working to get to the next slide. Oh, there it goes. It's just slow. So our medical disclaimer, the information in this presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, not intended as medical advice. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the research and experience of myself and Dr. Rita Marie and other people who have contributed. And we encourage you to make your own health decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. So what I'd like to cover today, again, is what I mentioned earlier, that just the difference between stress, toxic stress, or chronic stress, and the trauma. And the normal cycle of stress and how it can get disrupted. And when it is disrupted, then that can lead to dysregulation of the system, which can lead to disease. So we'll cover a tiny, tiny bit of the basic physiology of stress and trauma that starts in the nervous system and just some very simple tips to support the healing of this disruption of the nervous system that happens with unresolved stress and trauma. So stress is a term that's so used, I think overused today, but the truth is that we all are bombarded with stressors in our modern world. We are bombarded with chemical stressors and electric stressors and EMF and things that do bother our system that we really weren't designed to have to deal with. So everyone really literally is swimming in stress. But stress itself isn't a problem, actually, unless it's not resolved well. So I like to call it the good, the bad, and the ugly because there is good stress. Stress is really actually very important for us to have for growth and development. I call the bad stress the chronic stress or toxic stress. And then the ugly is trauma. So we'll go into each one of these. So good stress, also called eustress, is totally necessary for health and for healthy life in general. It helps us to grow physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It boosts our immune system. It gives us better muscle tone. We have to have some good stress. It helps us to create passionate, meaningful lives. And it actually includes some quote-unquote bad stressors, and it's only bad if it doesn't get resolved. Okay, so some examples are exercise is stressful to the system, but it's necessary for growth and development, right? Falling in love helps us feel passionate and have meaning in our life. Traveling to somewhere new and exciting is a stress. Facing your fears, like taking a risk, starting a business, starting a new job, doing a presentation in front of a bunch of people, having a baby, moving to another home, all of these things in and of itself may be a little challenging for the system, but it isn't necessarily bad. They're important, necessary aspects for meaningful lives. Our system is designed to deal with acute stressors, so short-term stressors. Our stress response system is designed to immediately respond to a threat, whether it's a real threat or a perceived threat, it doesn't matter, the body is going to respond the same way. And when our body senses that there's a threat, there's really no thinking with our cognitive brain. It's a very much a sensation in the body that triggers the response, the hormonal response in the system, and it's very, very, very quick. So once our system senses a possible threat, the sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system, that fight or flight, gets pushed into action. Again, it's only designed for short-term threats. So when a threat is gone, then we start to relax via the parasympathetic nervous system, also part of the autonomic nervous system. But the parasympathetic branch is that rest, digest, and repair branch. So acute stress, again, whether it's perceived to be good or bad, is actually not damaging to our system in small to moderate amounts. It becomes toxic if it happens too often or there are tons of little stressors that build up and don't get resolved. So the bad stress is really chronic or toxic stress. So it's created from perceived or actual threat that is a bigger deal, or it's a littler stress that happens too often, too regularly, or there are too many smaller stressors happening all at the same time that it's a burden to your system and your system can't tolerate it anymore. And here's where we see the dysregulation of this stress response. And this is what leads to disease. Again, it's not necessarily the stress itself or even the trauma event itself. It's when we don't have the resources or the ability to resolve it and get back into a state of calm or that parasympathetic state. So types of stress, here's some just examples of what we might perceive as negative stress. And the longer that you're exposed to these stressors, the more severe the event is, the higher the likelihood of long-term damage and dysregulation. So the obvious is the physical stress, right? Accidents, natural disasters, fires, floods, injuries, surgeries, things that harm our physical body that we can see and that we can feel. And then there's chemical stress, which we're actually bombarded by thousands and thousands of chemicals these days. It's in our food, it's in our water. Right, it's in our air, it's in our body care products, EMFs, Wi-Fi, and not to mention the toxic bacteria and virus, and parasites, mold and fungus, all of these things that we can't necessarily see, but that can very seriously disrupt our stress response. So body is going to respond to a stressor, like a parasite, the same way it's going to respond as a physical accident, right? The same process gets kicked into gear. And again, the longer that we're exposed to these stressors, the more toxic they become. Of course, we have emotional stress as well, which can absolutely have the same effect of dysregulation within the stress response system that a physical or toxic stress would have. So what I call the ugly is trauma. And when trauma happens, the normal fight or flight response just isn't enough to work. Okay, so we couldn't resolve it with our normal capacity to fight or run away. These options are not working for resolution. And so the body has to move into a different state to manage it. So the system tends to shut down, and this is what we call freeze. Or you got into a situation where you never had an option to fight or run. You didn't get to say no, and there was no one there to help you. So the system shuts down into the state that we refer to as freeze. So there's no solutions available. And if there's no solution available for a long period of time, this does dysregulate the system and leads to disease, but also leads to some very highly dysfunctional behaviors, which leads to really unhappy and unfulfilling lives. So more on trauma in a moment. I wanted to define what a normal stress cycle looks like, because stress itself is not the problem, right? Stress is a normal part of life, a very important part of life, but there's a normal cycle that the body uses. The body has this amazing system in place that's designed to help us resolve threats. And it's a very, very tightly regulated system. And so we have the opportunity to learn, many of us have the opportunity to learn from Dr. Rita Murray about the science here, about the HPAT axis and the SAM system. And these are very, very tightly regulated systems within the body, starting with the autonomic nervous system. The body really knows what to do with acute stressors. It's very good at helping us survive a threat that is a short-term threat. So when the body senses that threat, these neurotransmitters are quickly released for rapid reaction so that we can run or fight. And then eventually hormones are secreted to help support the body in more longer term efforts for fight or flight. It's a beautiful system that works really, really well in really peaceful life situations where there's not a lot of threat coming into our reality. So let's look at what this looks like visually, the charge-discharge cycle. So it starts with a stimulus comes in. So this is not necessarily a cognitive thinking. You realize there's a stimulus. Your system will sense a threat or a stimulus in its environment, and it will start to kick in. The hormonal response, the neurotransmitters and hormones will start to work before you can even think about it, right? It's really, really fast. So anytime that your body senses a possible threat or a real threat or a perceived threat, even good things, not just threats, right? But what I call a charge, anytime something comes into your system is going to affect you, like falling in love. If you fall down, you get startled by somebody or something that you didn't expect. Your son didn't clean his room. You're irritated with your husband or your friend. You notice a wasp coming after you. Any of these situations is going to be a stimulus or a charge that your system is going to try and manage. So as your body tries to deal with the charge, the increasing energy of the situation until you realize what you can do to manage the situation, you're going to come up to this peak. And then once you have resolution, whatever that resolution is, your system naturally knows how to allow for the discharge of that stimulation. So we get charged up, we hit a peak, we then move in to discharge, allow it to release, and we move back to a relaxed state. So in terms of the nervous system, this was really first the sympathetic nervous system kicking in with the SAM system and the HPAT axis. The sympathetic system is giving us all of these resources so that we can physically take action. We call it mobilization. So our body can handle fighting or running. And then once we hit that peak, and that peak is about when we finally find resolution and the threat is resolved, we move back through the parasympathetic nervous system. We move back into a calm state. So your body begins to discharge stress. The problem happens when we don't get to complete this charge-discharge cycle. Okay, if we don't get to fully come back down into parasympathetic for rest, digest, and repair, then we have blockages and disruptions, and the disruptions will start in the autonomic nervous system, and then eventually, if not resolved out of the system, then the hormonal dysregulation happens. So again, when we have resolution of the problem and we get to complete the normal charge-discharge cycle, we can more easily maintain good health and build a very resilient nervous system that can handle these life stressors very well. I like to help people understand that there is a difference between stress management and stress and trauma resolution. Okay, we all need stress management skills living in our, living in this modern world that we live in. We're again totally bombarded with stressors. So we absolutely have to incorporate the foundations for health. And Dr. Rita Marie, I know that you are have an amazing program that promotes these, the Body Freedom Foundations, right? It's sleep, fun, exercise, working with your environment, diet, your outlook, and mindfulness. We all have to have these foundations in place to manage modern life. It's just, if we don't do that, then we are not going to be able to tolerate the stress that we can't avoid. So stress management skills are going to help us to be able to tolerate the stress and allow ourselves to complete the natural cycle. But what if we can't resolve the problem and we can't complete the cycle? So that's when we hit overwhelm. We can also call it trauma, right? When our system moves beyond stress, beyond the point where we can fight and flee or resolve it some way, then we can't say no to the situation, we get into a traumatizing, overwhelmed situation, right? The different types of trauma, there's shock or event trauma. There's repeated traumas that might be, or repeated stressors that might be smaller, or there's just so many of them that the system is overloaded and moves into overwhelm because it can't tolerate the amount of the smaller stressors. And then there's also earlier childhood trauma. And it's important to know about early childhood trauma because when trauma is not resolved and it gets blocked in the system before our nervous system and our brains are fully developed, it really sets us up. We grow into dysregulation, and that leads us to a much, much, much higher chance of adult dis-ease. So it's like these poor people in the car. Hopefully there's not people in the car, but I assume there might be some people in the car here, and this tsunami hit or something hit where they had no option, right? They did not get the opportunity to say, no, I don't think I want to be here. They just had to deal with what was there. And because the body knows I can't say no, I can't fight, I can't run, your system is going to chemically, hormonally move into overwhelm as a way to protect you and help keep you alive. So, oops, I have my notes all messed up. Hold on. All right, so let me go into a visual. I love this map of the nervous system where it's adapted from Peter Levine's original model. And we go through state 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4. I really love this simple map that I use with most all of my clients so that we can be speaking the same language when we're talking about what's happening in their system. So state 0 would be very calm, but alert, like really present in the moment and not feeling anxious or overwhelmed or tired and depressed, but just really mindfully present and calm, but alert and capable. And then state 1 is when a charge comes in. So a stimulus comes in or some kind of charge. It could be stressful, it could be a threat, but it's something that's going to get your system more aware that it's something you have to pay more attention to. And then if your body recognizes that there is a bigger deal to deal with here, that you need to actually take action now, the hormones are going to be secreted into your system so that you can move into a place of mobilization so you can run or you can fight. So we moved from calm and alert to noticing something might be awry to going, okay, here's the threat, and I'm going to move into this place where I have all the capabilities to run or to fight the situation. So what happens is if you don't have the ability to resolve the situation at that point, you might be here for a while fighting or running from the situation. And once your body gets to the point where it can no longer sustain, state 2, it can't be sustained for a very long period of time because it's incredibly high energy charge. And there is a point where your physical body can no longer sustain that heightened experience. And so either the threat becomes so real you don't have a choice, or your body succumbs and you go into overwhelm. Okay. Overwhelm here is technically trauma. We're traumatized here. In state 3, this is just, again, too big for us to tolerate. We can't manage it. So this is really a massive parasympathetic response. It is not the same as rest and digest parasympathetic system where we were in state zero. This is an immobilized state, meaning that your body is literally chemically shutting you down so that you, it's technically there so that you can conserve energy. And then the goal would be to, once the threat has gone or you have some support, you can move back up into state two, back to state one, and back to state zero. But many of us get stuck in state three in this freeze mode. If we're not able to get resolution out of state three and move back, then we will move into state four, which is severely traumatized. So state four, we might totally collapse here if we go into shock or we faint or in state four. And if we have surgery and we're under anesthesia, that is state four. It's a forced state four to shut down your system completely on purpose. So it's a parasympathetic, but not the good parasympathetic that we want to be in on a regular basis. It's a protection mode to protect your body and reserve your resources, your conserve your energy, so that at some point you'll be able to move out of the traumatized state and you'll be able to mobilize. So we're hoping that we can go from the immobilized state back into the mobilization state of the stressed state two. And then ride the wave back down to stress or to zero again, where we're in the rest and digest parasympathetic state. So understanding what the state of our nervous system is can help us to make better decisions on how we treat the symptoms. Okay, so I know in NEPT and INE, we've got a lot of tools to help and support the system. The more you understand the nervous system, the state of the nervous system, it's going to be so much easier for you to decide what treatment to use. I call them the hot symptoms, right? The hot symptoms are the sympathetic dominant symptoms in state one and state two. So it's gradually increasing. Well, it might be quick. If it's a fast, dangerous threat coming at you, you can move from zero to two very, very quickly. But it could be also a slower progression, but we're going to move from this increased energy. We might have some fear, anxiety, might be a little anger here. This state actually, many people have this kind of low-grade annoyance or irritability. Their heart rate's a little bit more. Their breath is a little bit more quick. It might be hard to sleep and relax during this state. So many people live in state one. This is a very stable state. The body can actually tolerate this state for a long period of time. And if the threat increases, we're going to move into the high stress state where we might actually have more severe panic, hyperventilation, heart racing, sweating, shaking, trembling, overall body tension, rage, terror. This is maximum performance. So this is actually a really good state if you're an athlete. Right? If you are needing your body to perform, we want to be able to be in this state. But again, we can't stay in this state very long because our resources will run dry and we will either resolve the threat at this place and move back down to the parasympathetic where we can recover and heal, or the body is going to shut us down and immobilize us to go into state three or state four. So again, we can use the term hot or cold. I love to use these terms with my clients until they start to be more in touch with their own sensations and their own experience. Simply hot and cold is a good place to start. The cold symptoms, lethargy, depression, sleepiness, heaviness. Often the posture is very collapsed because they don't have a lot of energy to hold themselves up in a really healthy posture. They can feel very loose, muscle tension. They might have tension, but they don't have a healthy tone in their muscles. There can be fogginess, dissociation, weight issues, feeling cold, or not being able to regulate their body temperature, move from hot to cold. Suicidality is common in this place. And many of my clients, when I show them this map, they admit to me that they've had thoughts of suicide and they know they would never in a million years commit suicide. And so it scares them that they have these thoughts of suicide because they know they wouldn't do it. And they're relieved when I tell them it's a normal response in the state three of the nervous system because it's a possible resolution. So I like to tell people, that yeah, it's kind of scary when you have that thought and I want to support my clients if it seems like a real possibility. However, the thought crossing your mind in this state is a very normal thing. And then we move to state four. This is absolute severe trauma, right? Blank affect, very numb, very dissociated. Their actual vision changes can happen here where they're in tunnel vision, clouded vision, or they're watching their body. They're totally out of their body and they're just watching it from afar and they feel kind of floaty. And again, if we're in shock, if we faint, or if we're in under anesthesia, that's a state four in the nervous system. So the hot states versus the cold states can be really helpful to use with your clients as you're trying to understand where they're at. Sympathetic dominance is a possibility where people get in the pattern of being in the sympathetic fight or flight state often. This is very common in our society, and it's actually even rather valued for people to work really hard, work nonstop, achieve, go get them, do more. And that can actually be very taxing to the system. And so some people have this sympathetic dominance where they're in this state most of the time. There's also people in parasympathetic dominance, right? So we can have the obvious example of people that are highly anxious in the hot stage and then people that are more depressed and low energy and want to sleep all the time in the cold state. People in the cold state that are in freeze mode have a hard time taking action. Even if they want to do new things, they have a hard time actually physically getting up and doing them. People in the sympathetic dominance have a hard time relaxing and letting go and letting their body enjoy downtime. So there's people that are stuck in one, in the hot, people that are stuck in the cold state. And the problem that I see most often is actually dual activation, where people fluctuate between the two. So when I'm working with people with trauma that wasn't resolved earlier when the trauma happened, then I'm looking for the possibility of this dual activation. And a mild form of this might be what we used to call adrenal fatigue, and now we call that dysregulation of the HPAT axis, really common to move back and forth between anxiety and depression, or between that tired and wired feeling. A more severe dual activation we see in PTSD. And it can be even so severe that people get misdiagnosed with bipolar. And they're not necessarily bipolar. They're stuck in this dual activation state. The hard part about this is that, and I think I have this in another slide, but it's just coming to my mind right now. The really hard part for many practitioners is when they're trying to give clients things that might help with the symptoms, to get symptom relief, what do you treat? Are you going to treat the hot symptoms or are you going to treat the cold symptoms? So when doctors are prescribing psychotropic medications, they get it's really frustrating because there's not really medications that help with both because the symptoms are really opposite. So I really believe that this is a problem, the big problem of why people have to change medications so often is because we really don't have any one medication that can help manage this dual activation. So it's very frustrating for practitioners and very frustrating for the patients and clients as well, because people don't really know how to manage this place of moving back and forth. And actually you can be in both at the same time, which sounds very odd, but you can move back and forth very quickly and you can actually have both happening at the same time. So it's very, very difficult. Another problem with medications to treat this dual activation is that it numbs symptoms, but it's hard to heal if you're numbing symptoms, because again, we have to allow for the feeling and the charge to move through our system for total resolution. So symptom management might help us get through the day, but it's not allowing the body to reset back to that rest and digest parasympathetic state where we're going to heal. It keeps us usually stuck here in this, either one of these sympathetic dominance, parasympathetic dominance, or in the dual activation. So it's really tough for clients and that suffer with this. And it's really tough for practitioners when clients are either doing everything right and not getting better, or not making progress because we can't manage, and we're not finding any tools that are helping to manage these symptoms here. So I just want to check in, since I haven't heard anything. Does anybody have any questions or comments yet?
I haven't seen any.
Okay.
Angelica said, I can relate to the pendulum swing. Yeah. And early on, we had a question. I mean, I wrote it down in my chat. I want to learn more about, when I asked what people wanted to learn about, but nothing related so far. You've been doing such a great job. Everybody's just riveted and listening.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because it's very quiet on my end. So
yes, I know. It's like, okay, is there anybody still here? Yes. Right. We've got 40 people still on the line listening to you.
So stress resolution really involves having a solution to the stress or the threat, and allowing for the charge discharge cycle to fully complete. So preventing dysregulation of the system really requires that we build resilience in our nervous system, because we can't always prevent the stressor or the threat, right? There's so many things out there in the world that we absolutely cannot control. But you can often prevent moving into a full-blown state two, or going over the edge and being overwhelmed and moving into state three, if we can increase our tolerance to the stressor. So there is a real need for many people these days to build resilience in the nervous system so that we can tolerate the stress that we have no control over. And sometimes we can't build tolerance until we let out the stress or trauma that's blocked in the system. So if we have past events that didn't get resolved and didn't get that full charge discharge cycle to completion, then that energy of that charge of the stressor has to do something. It doesn't just magically disappear. It needs to move. So if we didn't get the opportunity to let it move, it's going to get stuck in the system. It's going to get blocked. And this is what then can turn into dysregulation of the system, causing disease. So if you are having a hard time building resilience, it could be there's no room in your system because the past stressor traumas are still blocked. Okay. Trauma resolution means that we move from state three or state four and get mobilized, move back up the curve into state two, where we can then gradually move to state one and finally back to state zero. Call it riding the wave of trauma. And here's the deal, you guys, going from state three, cold and immobile, shut down, to state two, which is very hot and mobile, is really, really uncomfortable in the system. So this is why we move back down into state three, because it protects us from the discomfort and the fear that can be in that, and the anxiety that can be in that state two place. So we often fall back down back into state three because we don't have the capacity to tolerate the discomfort. Okay. So again, if our system is full of past stress and trauma that didn't get the chance to be resolved, that might be the reason that we can't tolerate the situation in the moment, and we can't get back over that hump down to state zero. So if it is unresolved for long periods of time and burdening the system, it does lead to dis-ease. So again, I know I'm repeating myself, but I think it's really important. If we didn't get to discharge and resolve the problem at the time that it happened, it gets blocked, and it leads to the ultimate dysregulation of the nervous system is where it starts. But the autonomic nervous system plays a role in every single system of the body, and it helps to modulate, regulate the interaction between the different systems. So when this happens, it can affect every single cell in our body. Again, it's really important that our body is allowed to follow the natural flow of charge and discharge. When we didn't get to do that, for many reasons might keep us from doing that, when it gets blocked, at some point, we have to find a way to let that energy move again, or our system is going to stay dysregulated. So is this stress or trauma? This is actually my son right after he had surgery for his broken neck. And this is a really important point I want to make to you guys, that it can be confusing sometimes because everyone is going to have a unique response to a threat, okay? And our response to our threat is based on a lot of different factors, right? Your perception of the situation, your body's, your system's tolerance to that threat, which is going to be affected by past stressors and traumas that may have not been resolved out of the system, right? And genetic factors as well. And what's also really, really important is that did you have help? Did someone come to your rescue, or did someone offer you some type of assistance when that threat happened? Because if we have support, we are much, much, much more likely to be able to complete the cycle. So even if we moved into overwhelm, we can more naturally and easy follow the natural cycle out of overwhelm back into mobilization and back down into the parasympathetic state. Okay. Now, the reason that I like to show this picture of my son is because he was actually absolutely traumatized. He had a sports injury and broke his neck. No paralysis, thank God. But it was really traumatizing to his body to have the break, but he had help. He immediately had people get him to the ER. The doctors immediately took him into surgery. He was further traumatized with the anesthesia to put him into state 4 so that he could get through the surgery. But those things alone weren't the problem, right? It's not a problem. It's challenging. It's difficult. I don't want to underestimate the absolute horror it was as a mother or as a person going through a broken neck. But my point is that there was so much help and support that his body had the ability to ride that wave of that stress wave, that trauma wave. He had help each step of the way. So he's not stuck in a stress or trauma response now. Okay. It was a horrible situation, but because he had so much support, he had resolution. He had a solution to the broken neck, right? He has plates and screws now in there. He was able to move naturally through his body's organic healing process. So now he's not dealing with stress or trauma that leads to disease, right? He's able to move through a challenging situation and come out on the other end just fine. So I think it's important to make that point that the stress or trauma itself is not a problem. When it builds up and our system goes into overwhelm, or we don't have any help or support, or we block our ability to allow the flow of the charge-discharge process, that's when there's a problem. The human body has so much potential to heal, but it also has the need to allow for the flow of its own natural organic healing process. And many times we get stuck. We block this natural process on an energetic or emotional level that affects our hormones and our neurotransmitters through our nervous system, which then affects all of the organs and the systems in the body and can create dis-ease. So that was me quickly going through a lot of really intense information. So I just wanted to end on giving you some tips to support the healing process here. And my first tip is to be able to identify what state of the nervous system is in, because the more we become aware of what's happening in our system and of our, where the blockage might be, where the stress is, what our behaviors are around the stress or the blocked energy is really important as a first step. So awareness of where we're at and what we're doing because of it. And I do believe in treating symptoms for relief. because if we can have a little bit of relief, it's going to be a little bit easier for us to build tolerance. But I'm careful to not use band-aids to mask the symptoms, right? But helping you to have more energy, helping you to have better sleep, helping you with things that help you to build tolerance, all the body foundations, right? All of those things will help you to support your ability to tolerate the stress so that you can allow for the experience of the stress to show to the surface so that you can allow for that completion of the cycle. Absolutely support the adrenals and the gut. If you suspect that unresolved stress or trauma is at the root of a person's issues, then we absolutely want to address adrenals and the gut and more things as well, but this is a good place to start, right? Releasing old stress and trauma. We need to get it to move out of the system. And mostly we need help with this. This is something that, depending on the severity of the stress or trauma, I recommend that people find a trained therapist to help them through this process. Especially if it's more on the severe trauma end. And then learn healthy ways to allow for the natural charge discharge cycle to occur in the present moment. So when the charge happens, learning some healthy ways to allow for it to manage and tolerate the sensation in the body from the charge or the stressor and allow it to move through its own cycle. Many of us didn't get healthy reflection and healthy modeling of this as children. So many of us are in unhealthy stress response patterns where we really are uncomfortable with or don't know how to allow for this natural charge discharge cycle. So learning how a healthy charge discharge cycle might look by seeing it in somebody else and then experimenting with that in your own system is really crucial. And then find your tribe. You guys, social interaction, safe social interaction allows for the activation of the ventral vagus nerve, which is what Dr. Porges in the polyvagal theory calls social engagement system. This is the state zero calm, rest, digest, repair state. And when we're with our tribe, we're with people that we feel safe with, and we have safe interaction, it absolutely stimulates the healing of this process. So find your tribe and make time to be with people where it allows your system to fall back into this state zero. So, okay, any questions? I'm done with my presentation here. Happy to answer
questions. Well, a few. Let me pull them back. One had to do with I copied them into another place because I always lose them. Do you see trauma, excessive stress, a factor for clients with eating disorders or bulimia? That was from Mary Lynn. Mm-hmm. Is there anything unique we can use beyond the trauma work you explained to work with this type of client?
Wow. And so I guess my question would be, how severe is the behavior? And absolutely, my mind is always going to what was the cause? What is the root of the behavior? And often with that very dysfunctional behavior, it's rooted in stress or trauma that wasn't allowed to be resolved. So that is absolutely a case that I would recommend having them work with somebody that has some experience with stress and trauma, as well as eating behaviors. If you don't have that experience yourself, It can absolutely be rooted. Like any kind of behavior where it's limiting the client to achieve what they want to achieve, I'm curious, is it rooted in stress and trauma? And I'm also curious, how early in their life was this? Was this a recent thing? Or is this behavior that got wired in as a young child? And if that is the case, then absolutely referring them to somebody with experience in this is really mm-hmm. crucial.
Yeah, I see that. I can see that point, because it's any behaviors that I would see where someone is harming themselves deliberately. I mean, obviously they know that what they're doing is harming themselves, but it's like they're driven, right? They're driven by something deep inside. That to me seems like it would be likely to be rooted in some sort of trauma, some sort of inability to really feel good about themselves that might have been inflicted by an early emotional trauma, which gets into the ACEs, which I think you're going to talk about in a bit as well. So
right.
Thank you for that. And then someone who
is. I could add one more point to that, Rita Maria, that is the ACEs exam or quiz is a great thing to offer a client to help to kind of see if it's likely that that earlier childhood situation is causing the behavior and the dysregulation of the system and the behavior. So I'm going to have some resources available. If you, many people are aware of the ACEs score, but we have some tools available for the client where they can do that test. And then you can say, wow, you do have a lot of factors in your childhood that can be contributing to this behavior or these symptoms or both. And that gives them, you know, kind of, it helps their logical brain go, oh, okay, maybe then I need to look deeper at this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There was another one similar to that was, what about someone who has flashbacks from childhood that caused the person to cry and freeze up?
Mm-hmm. Then I would recommend finding a therapist that has some experience in that for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's definitely something that to me smacks of traumatic, right? You don't have flashbacks of, wow, I was laying at the beach and the lifeguard came and smiled at me. No, we don't have those kinds of
right. So it's probably uncomfortable flashbacks or memories. And so the system is easily, it's in hypervigilant state where it's easily triggered from a past memory, and those memories then are coming to the surface. So you absolutely find somebody that has some experience working with that. And it doesn't necessarily take years and years of therapy to get through a lot of this. I'm so blessed to know of Laura's work and to be studying with her and learning with her, because she offers some really great tools to get right in, to get right in there and really get to the root pretty quickly, so that we're not, you know, spending thousands of dollars and years on a couch talking about it, but
talking about it over and over again.
Right. That we're really getting to the energetic root of it. And I still want to use all of our great tools and techniques with supplements and herbs and lifestyle. Right. But it is really important to go down into the root of that. So if somebody's having memories come to the surface, I really think they need some help navigating that.
Do you think that's a way of discharge? You talked a lot about discharging. You have to be able to discharge. Is that an attempt of the body to discharge?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And my first question to myself would be that I think that the body is always giving us really perfect information. Mm-hmm. And so I want to listen to that information, whatever symptom it is, if it's a memory, if it's a thought, if it's a physical presentation of a symptom. I think it's brilliant information that we should spend time being curious about it. So I don't know what it's going to be, because I'm not the person. So, but my job is to help them get curious and to get to the answer themselves.
Right. And these are the tools that we want to, or the skills we want to develop if we're working with people, especially if we are working with people who have had issues for a long time and are stuck, which is, again, I reiterate about Laura's work and your work too, that the stuff that you teach is pretty awesome for that. There was another one. Oh, I don't remember what this was related to because I just looked at it now, but Claudia asked, what are those healthy ways? It was probably related to healthy ways of managing the things. So if you want to reiterate on that, or do you?
So healthy ways of learning how to discharge.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Well, so first we want to be consciously aware of the fact that we need the discharge, right? Because then we're more likely to make a good decision on how we're going to discharge it. Like, so instead of numbing it with alcohol or drugs or food, and push it down further, we want to find a way to move it up and out of the system. So healthy ways to do that, everyone is different, but a discharge could be verbally expressing yourself, right? Having a friend to talk to, someone in your tribe that you can express yourself to that way, right? That it's discharging through your voice. We discharge often through our voice, through our arms, through our legs, right? So we might want to write it out in a journal. We might want to physically exercise it out. We might want to dance it out. So there's different ways to do that. But what we want to be careful with is that we can do it when we're not being mindful, and then it's not necessarily discharging it out of the system. Right. So some people will do yoga, but do it so perfectly because they want to do it just right and they're trying to get it right and they're not allowing the natural flow. They're constricting it because they need to be perfect and get it just right.
I love that. I love that. Angelica asked, can you provide an example of someone who doesn't allow the full cycle to run its course and then another example of someone who does?
Excellent. Let me try and think of a good example. So everyone naturally is going to want to discharge in their own way, right? So one person might really like to discharge through their voice, and another person might like to discharge through their art or their a craft of some sort, right? Some another person might want to discharge dancing or playing, laughing. Right. So everyone's going to kind of, I think, have their own way. And each situation might require a different discharge. Right. So all I can tell you is this is where we want to really be curious about ourselves and learn what does our body want to do? What does the energy want to do? And it could be different in every scenario. It could be different in each scenario that you have a charge in your life or in your body. So the real key is to be curious about yourself and learn how to observe that it's happening. Catch it when it's happening and be curious about what does your body organically want to do to allow for the charge to move. And sometimes there's a feeling associated with the charge. And the thing is that we need to be able to feel that and allow the feeling to be expressed and to move on. And many of us don't have a lot of tolerance or capacity for that. And so, again, I think it starts with being curious. Be curious about yourself. And I do believe that the body's giving us signals all the time. So if we're not sure, we can turn into a symptom. In the body, we can try and follow the charge, right? Tune into the charge, be curious about the charge, and it will tell you. Peter van der Kolk wrote a book called The Body Keeps the Score about trauma, right? The information is in your body. I promise it is there. So if you're struggling getting the answer, get some help with somebody that can direct you to learn how to tune into your own body.
Absolutely. You know, that came up with, and I just thought of an example from my own experience, if it's okay to share. If I get something stressful happens and I'm getting all stressed out. Now, if I have a break and I just go, I yell and scream and get, you know, try to discharge. And I go, I'm just going to go for a run. And then I'm like, oh, it feels so good. You know, and I allow the feeling to pass and I come back and I don't even remember what I was stressed about. If I don't have that opportunity to just go for a run or get out in nature, or do something that for me is very discharging, I have 10 minutes. I reach for food. Right. Now the food doesn't discharge. It just distracts.
Right.
Right. So I think that the example that I would think about is distraction versus discharging. And I think that's something we all need to just be really mindful about for our own behaviors, but also watching that in our clients.
Right. And then I love that you have the awareness around that, that you can say, okay, if I don't have time to go do my more normal routine, what are the other skills that you have to allow yourself to manage it or tolerate until you have time to discharge? Because that's going to happen in life, right? You might get charged up with your boss. Well, you can't discharge in that middle of that meeting, right? Yeah. So again, being able to tolerate or manage it in the moment so that we can then go later with intention, allow that charge to flow out.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that with intention. Cause a lot of people do that with the reaching for food. And we know that that does not discharge trauma.
Right.
It just creates new stress.
It can suppress it further and then block the flow.
Suppress from it. Just feeling. Yeah. Virginia put a good resource in there about Kathleen Love working with eating disorders with trauma as the root. So that answers the question that came up earlier. Let's see if there's any others. All right. So
can I break in for a second?
Yes.
I don't know if you saw in that Q&A icon in the middle next to the share and participants button. If you if you click on that, there's a question from Janine.
Oh, there we go. Okay, cool. Janine, I developed cerebral back pain. Can't bend or move without pain. No meds, oils, or lotions at work. I feel it's an energy block due to my mom's passing. I'm trying to build life again and stand for values. Any suggestions?
I love that you have some awareness of that, that your mom's passing could be the root of this, right? And so I am a big fan of getting help. I think that there are some great techniques. I actually really like HeartMath and EFT, the emotional freedom technique stuff for trying to manage and move through the pain when you're actually experiencing the pain and you don't have a lot of options right in the moment. But I do think that it's worthwhile if you believe that you're struggling with something that you haven't been able to resolve on your own. I think it's useful to reach out to somebody and ask for help with them because we might be able to track that pain back to a particular event and give you the opportunity to resolve it.
Absolutely. Lynn Rose asks, are there techniques to discharge a freeze response from stress?
Oh, excellent question. Thank you, Lynn Rose. And if your body's in freeze, it's immobile, right? It's chemically keeping you from taking action.
Right.
And so it's hard because your mind is like, why can't I get up and do these things I want to do? You might be tired or physically exhausted, but it's frustrating because your cognitive thinking mind is like, I don't want to be frozen. But I can't get myself to do things. Well, your body literally chemically is keeping you immobile. And again, the thing is that we can't, it's not, discharge is hard there because we need to kind of move, in my experience, we need to move back up into mobilization,
yeah,
where we can then discharge, but that's really uncomfortable. So I would first work on building tolerance in your system, right? How can I build a little bit of tolerance in my system for the discomfort of moving up into the hot state and then being able to tolerate that as you ride the wave down?
Yeah, that's a really, really good point because that's what I see so many people spend their whole life running away from the feeling it. And for some cases, it's like severe physical abusive type stuff that's happened as a kid. We don't want to feel it, but that wave of riding it, discharging it, and then not allowing it to just get shoved back in the body so we keep experiencing it is hard, but it's so worth it.
So, and again, as a proponent, to have some help with this, because having somebody be there with you feels a little safer for many of us into our system. It feels a little bit safer. So if you have somebody, a trusted friend or a trusted practitioner that can help you come out of freeze, I find, it can be really helpful to get you to the point where you can tolerate the discomfort that it's going to take to ride the wave back down.
And tolerating the discomfort in a safe environment, that's a really big thing. Tolerating it by yourself, that's dangerous, right? Just trying to deal with it and be big about it can be very dangerous. But in this safe environment with a trusted therapist, friend, you know, person that has the skills to just be with you and provide a safe environment, I think is important.
And we don't have to figure out how, because our body will tell us. If we're listening, if we know how to track the charge and pay attention to the charge and be curious about it, then we'll get the information that we need for healing. It's organically going to happen if we get out of the way and allow it. And having a trusted person or group of people to support you literally stimulates that ventral vagus nerve and puts us into the healing parasympathetic state. When we're frozen, we're in the immobile parasympathetic state. We're not healing there.
Yeah.
So social engagement, looking at somebody's loving, compassionate eyes, hearing their voice, because the nerves in the vagus nerve, it innervates the ear. So when we see the look of the compassionate look and hear the compassionate tone in the voice, it literally changes our vagus nerve and allows for parasympathetic rejuvenation.
Nice. So I would love for you to share with people. They've gotten, you know, a taste of this, and I know that you've prepared something, a class that where they can go deeper with this for themselves and also as practitioners. So I would love to hear you share that with people.
I am so excited to get to have 4 hours to teach about this in more detail. So my class coming up, my course coming up, it's called The Energy and Physiology of Trauma, Helping Clients Heal Trauma Patterns. And this is not just if you're a practitioner, right? You're going to learn techniques that are going to help you to recognize unresolved trauma and support the healthy regulation of the nervous system. Whether you're a practitioner or not, everyone on this planet has stress and trauma. So this can help you with your friends and family as much as it will help you with yourself and, of course, with your clients. So it's 2 live 120-minute Zoom calls, Wednesday the 3rd and Wednesday the 10th of April, 6 o'clock Central Standard Time. I'm going to go into more detail of the physiology and the energy behind the charge. Of the energy and physiology of stress and trauma and how that turns into disease. We just touched on it a little bit today, so we're going to go into much more detail. We're going to talk about how your personality energy patterns are used to defend against overwhelm. So I'm going to just touch on this topic of the way that we learn to manage stress is really an intricate part of our habit, and we get in a habit, some people call it a personality pattern of defending ourselves. So we're going to touch on that a little bit. We have other courses available that go into more detail on that. So this is just a quick intro on that topic, but it's a useful concept to understand that we get into a habit of defense, and each person has kind of a unique habit of defense. And when we can understand that, then we can work with it more effectively. And then I'm going to give more techniques and strategies on shifting the nervous system to regulate back to its healthy, balanced state. Because we all have it in us to be regulated. And we might go up in stress, we might feel overwhelmed, but we all have the ability to come back to that state of calm and not be negatively affected in the future. But that's a skill that we need to learn in modern world. We didn't need to learn this hundreds of years ago. We need to learn this now. So if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, something's wrong with me because I need help with my stress and trauma, everybody does, because we don't have a healthy environment that promotes calm on a regular basis, right? We're getting disrupted all the time. So I'm teach you how to recognize the unresolved trauma and how to respond when it comes to the surface. So with yourself, with your clients, with your friends, with your family members, and know when it's appropriate to refer out to a qualified therapist, because there is a point where it's severe enough that somebody is going to need more qualified support. I want to make one quick point here that I didn't touch on in the presentation, and that is that if somebody is currently under severe trauma or stress, we're not going to spend time going back and try to resolve unresolved trauma or stress, right? We need to get safe first. So if you have a client that is currently in an abusive situation or currently has a really heavy addiction that's affecting their livelihood, affecting their health and their life, that needs to be addressed before we can look at the underlying stress or trauma. Okay, so the client has to be safe in the present moment for us to work on the unresolved stress and trauma. Okay, I don't think I mentioned that earlier, but that's a very important thing. So I want to help you learn how to notice that, how to recognize it when it shows up, and give you some simple tools that you can implement, but also then know when it's appropriate to get some further help. And so actually we have a couple free bonuses for people. And Rita Marie, help me understand, like, I'm not sure how long the bonus is going to be active, so you'll have to step in. But the first free bonus is going to be a 30-minute assessment with myself with the ACEs score, the Adverse Childhood Experience score. It's a 10-question kind of questionnaire that will help you understand your personal risk based on your childhood stress and trauma. Mm-hmm. So that 30 minutes with me is a value of $97. And then the second, I'm so excited about this one, the free bonus with Laura Fine, Create an Energy Connection. It's a 4-hour training that you're going to get for free when you enroll in this course. $197 value, but this 4-hour live Zoom call is going to help you learn the essential keys to connection and how to create healing presence when you're working with clients or in your personal relationships. And that's on Saturday the 6th. So it's a pretty big week to do all of these, right? We have the 3rd with my class, then the Saturday the 6th, and then the next Wednesday the 10th. So it'll be a huge immersion into understanding energy, connection, and how stress and trauma can get disrupted.
Yeah. And I just want to chip in with that, with the energy connection, that class when we did it live last year as well. And it was phenomenal. Every single person just about stayed from the beginning to the end in 4 hours on a Saturday. You know, sometimes you have drop off, somebody has to leave. People were riveted and they were like interacting and having these transformations right there on the call, like things shifting. So I'm amazed that we are throwing this bonus in, and we'll have to ask Laura how long that's for, because nobody gave me the input on how long these bonuses are for. What are they, till the end of the week, I guess, or till the end of the night? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. That's why I wanted to check in with you.
Yeah, let me let you finish, and then we'll bring Laura. Laura can speak and just share a little bit more about that. And just to say who Laura is. Laura Fine is the founder of a process called Transpersonal Energy Healing, and she's been certifying people for about 17 years or so in that program, in that process, and many of the people in this program are in there. We're about to rebrand it, so you may hear us call it Transpersonal Energy Healing. You may hear us call it Subconscious Cellular Healing, because we're feeling like that's, from a practitioner standpoint, that really describes it a little bit better, because it's like those subconscious patterns that the trauma and other energetic patterns that create imbalances and don't allow the cellular healing to happen. So that's who Laura is, and we'll open up her mic in just a bit when you finish.
She said it's a 24-hour bonus.
Oh, it's a 24-hour bonus. Okay. Then it's a 24-hour bonus. You need to do this now, tonight, and we'll give you the link where you can do it. Sign up now, and you'll get all of those bonuses. And, you know, just having someone to sit with the ACEs score is so worth it, and understand how that may be impacting you. But also from a practitioner standpoint, if you are a practitioner, when you're sitting with someone, you get to see how Kimberly, who has all these years of experience with trauma, 25 years in holistic practice, all the training in trauma and how it affects the nervous system, for her to be able to explain to you yours, you're going to see, you're going to get beyond the path to being able to work with this score with your clients. And I highly recommend that we start to do this with everybody, because it's so impactful in the healing process.
And what's interesting, Rita Marie, is when I have a client fill it out on their own and then I sit down with them, almost, I would say over 75% of the time, once we start to talk about it, their score goes up, because they really have underestimated how much happened in their childhood, because they're functioning well now. It doesn't always seem so obvious that this was stressful. So when I start talking with them about it, we actually often add a number or two or three, because doing it on their own is very different than discussing it with somebody.
Absolutely.
So I really welcome the opportunity to have a few minutes with people to teach them how I work with the score, and also just discuss their own personal situation. And so the course plus Laura's course plus the 30-minute session with me, only $197.
Yeah. I mean, it all value, if you were to do each one individually, it would be like almost $500. So you're getting it all for $197, 8 hours of amazing, no, 8.5, because of your of amazing interaction with these wonderful women who have been, they're highly skilled, they're highly trained. And I've been to Laura's 3-day, 5-day, half day programs. I've seen Kimberly teach at those. I've brought Kimberly in to my own programs to teach my people. And it's nothing short of phenomenal when you can get that stuff moving in your own body. So it's for you, but it's also for you developing the skills with clients, so you know what to say, how to handle it, how to go through that So you go to physiologyoftrauma.com right now for the next 24 hours. So that's until tomorrow night at, well, let's just say 8:30 tomorrow night. That bonus will be there, and if they're all listed on the page, and if you go back there on, what's tomorrow, Tuesday, if you go back there on Wednesday, they'll be gone. So I highly encourage you to get in now, because this is going to be phenomenal. Some of you are already in there. Some of you, signed up in advance, just sight unseen back in, September when you were at the class, I forget the name of that class, but the 5-day with Laura, that was so impactful. A lot of you signed up and said, give me the rest. I know Angelica's in, and probably Lynn Rose, and there's a bunch of you that are already in. So we appreciate that.
Can I share something?
Yes.
Because Kimberly is near and dear to my heart. And she was actually my roommate when we did some of this, when we did the studies out in California. And she has a really concrete knowledge of this information. I mean, personally, bar none, I don't know anybody else who can explain this. Not only does she have the knowledge, but she can really explain it so that you understand it for yourself as well as the people that you'll be working with. And plus, she has a really tender and expansive heart, so that as you ask questions, she'll know how to answer them. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. I agree with you. I really have so much respect for her. I'm gonna unmute Laura so she can go ahead. I unmuted you, Laura, but it's not allowing me to. See if you can unmute yourself, Laura.
Okay.
I just unmuted her.
You did. Oh, good. You wouldn't let me. Magic touch.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Laura.
Oh, good. Okay. This has been phenomenal. Thank you, Kimberly and Reemarie. I mean, I learned so much, Kimberly, from what you just, how you broke it down so systematically. Really going to be helpful for me too. So thank you for that. I am really excited to kind of merge our work together. You know, this is partly why I wanted to offer this bonus, because it's so integral and integrating to so the physiology of trauma with creating connection with clients. And some of us, because of trauma in our history, we're hardwired to be mistrustful, to be hypervigilant, to be withholding, not consciously, not intentionally, but in our system, that message is still there. And so as a practitioner, when your clients are coming to you, they're coming usually because they've got some real issues, some real eating disorder or problem with, you know, with their physical health that is rooted in trauma. And so to be able to recognize that and then to know how to connect with them, how to help them ease into creating connection with you and a trusting bond with you, as Kimberly was talking about earlier, is a super important part of their healing, feeling seen, feeling heard, feeling validated is an enormous part of the healing of trauma. And so I really want to bring these two pieces together for everybody in your training, because it will impact the way you work with your clients tremendously. And that's what Reemarie is so dedicated to and so all about. So I just want to support that and support all of you. And I would love to meet all of you. So thank you for inviting me in here.
And thank you, Laura, so much. And, you know, probably a little over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, maybe it was close to 2 years when we were brainstorming at Laura, but I've had the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology. We teach nutritional endocrinology, digestive health, hormone health, et cetera, very extensive program. But it felt like we needed this other piece to help people where it was a blend of this emotional, energetic work that or imbalance that was there, plus the hormonal and biochemical. And so Laura, it was about a year ago that we did our first class together. And I think it was the energy, creating the energy connection.
Yeah.
And now we've got a full certification program in the work with Laura. And now Kimberly's part of that. She's on the faculty. And then we also have Tony, who's going to be teaching a class later in the year. And, Lynn has been very instrumental in being, TA, like in college, the TA, where she and a couple of other trained practitioners lead some of the little breakout groups, for integration during the program. And I feel like it's been such an amazing addition to my program, to all the programs that we've been doing, and the changes I see in the practitioners who've gone through and worked with Laura. We have a first group about to get certified, don't we? Very soon.
Yes, and it's really exciting.
Amazing, right? Yeah. And the changes in the way they work with their clients, the results they get with their clients, and just their results of them, like the confidence that they have in presenting, in being present, it's just been so beautiful to watch for me.
Oh, that's great, Rita Marie. Well, and thank you for all of that acknowledgement and naming it. I mean, it's really, truly a missing ingredient in so much of what's out there in making healing profoundly effective, and your piece as well. I mean, it's just, I'm just honored to be a part of this and to have people like Kimberly and yourself and Tony as part of our team. I mean, it's an amazing faculty of wisdom and knowledge and depth. And so it's just, to be a part of this team is really super exciting for me too.
That's great for you to be a part of it. And I wanted to say that those of you who did prepay for the packages, whatever, you should have gotten an email a couple of days ago. We may have sent it earlier, but we resent to you that said, welcome to the program. So check your inbox. There's about, I think there's 8 or 9 of you that were, some of you, yeah, so that was signed up back in the fall. So go ahead and check your inbox. And those of you who aren't, just go to Physiology of Trauma, right? Physiologyoftrauma.com. And you'll be able to sign up right away and do it within the next 24 hours. So you also get 4 hours of Laura, and you also get the one-on-one ACEs evaluation with Kimberly.
I will send out the link to my calendar. If you enroll and you get my bonus, I'll send you a link to my calendar so you can sign up for that 30 minutes.
Right.
Absolutely. And that 4-hour webinar falls right in between the two classes of the Physiology mm-hmm. of Trauma. So it all happens in 1 week. It would be a real intensive training, 2 Wednesday nights and 1 Saturday, late morning, early afternoon. So it's a real, intensive. So I hope everybody will take advantage of that opportunity.
Absolutely. I think they all go well together, because as you're teaching that connection ability and Kimberly's teaching the practical strategies for working with the trauma and how to work with that and identify it when it comes up, that in combination with the connection. And I just remember last year in that class how everybody was just riveted and, nobody got up. You were very generous in giving 2 5-minute breaks. And it was like, nobody's like, okay, I got to pee. Okay, I'm coming back. I'm not going to miss a single minute. And I saw those transformations from beginning to end.
We have fun. It's a lot of fun, actually. Yeah, it's very experiential, believe it or not, even over Zoom. It's just amazing what we can do.
It's amazing. So thank you. And thank you, Kimberly. There was another question I promised that I would get to that came into this Q&A thing. This webinar thing is new to me. I didn't even know there was that. Laura says, can smelly feet be related to stress, and how would you explain that? Okay.
I would need more information to answer that question. But we can easily have sweaty hands and sweaty feet when we have that sympathetic response.
Right.
And I have seen that in many clients. So it's yes.
Let's just extrapolate it to take it to, so if you have sweaty hands and feet, your hands are out in the open and that sweat gets to evaporate and discharge. So you don't have a development of stinky hands, and you might if you wore gloves all day and you were in sympathetic. But with the feet, you're in socks or you're in shoes, and when that sweat happens, even though you're not cold, that sweat that happens can create like this yicky environment, and I would guess it could even lead to foot fungus and things like that. Mm-hmm. Just guessing. Intelligent guessing, that's what I do.
It sounds reasonable to me.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. I always try to find reasons, and like I like to take it out to the next level. Mm-hmm. Martha says, since I'm not seeing clients, just talking to friends, should I wait and get further along with other assignments? Because this is my goal right now. You know what, Martha, knowing what I know about you and knowing a lot of the trauma that you've been through, I would say do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. This will only happen once a year. So take advantage of it now, totally. And I think with a lot of the stuff that's going on with you, even if you're not seeing clients one-on-one, the work you're doing, because you are out in the community, you are doing talks, you are working with people, all of these classes are going to add to your bag of tricks. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really good foundation moving forward. And so I remember when I was teaching, I taught like 15 minutes on this. Was it the awakening last year? And a couple people came up to me and said, oh, this is making so much more sense now that they had that context to put it in. So I think it can really help you. And there's not like homework or crazy stuff you have to get done. You
you just show up, really. Yeah. It's not like my classes where I work you like a maniac and you have to. This is more the experiential, which is what I love about it. We need both. We need our left brain, our right brain. We need to involve our bodies. We need to involve our emotions, and we need to involve our brain. And it's an integrated, we're all about integrated health. Okay. So there was a couple more, and I think, let's see. So Yvonne asked, who is the Laura she refers to? Now, you know, you just met Laura. What Debbie Justice says, what if you don't want therapy? Can you do it yourself? I think you were referring to people, you know, finding a therapist. Can, as long as it's not too severe, right? Can a person like work on themselves?
Well, I think there's some great books out there and some resources that you could use. And if you're not getting where you need to go or you want to be, then get some help.
You get some help, right? Yeah. Exactly. Angelica says ecstatic dance is a wonderful discharge. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's see. How about babies that experience trauma? Good question, Heidi. For example, underdeveloped preemies with health crises or babies in car accidents, even if they have the support of a loving family, does the trauma get stuck in their physiology, or can babies discharge naturally?
The baby knows how to discharge naturally, but things do get in the way. But the more love and support they have, and the more love and support that we can give their digestive system and the rest of their body, the better, because we know the gut-brain connection, right? And we know how when preemies they survive, which is great news, but their guts can be very compromised. Mm-hmm. And that can be a cause of stress and dysregulation in the system down the road, even if they got a lot of love and support and it's not the trauma of the machines and all of this, the technology that kept them alive. The trauma can be from a dysregulated microbiome.
Yep.
So I like to look at all of that. Is there possible dysregulation from internal sources, like a dysregulated gut, which would cause the same dysregulation as an external trauma? Body doesn't know the difference. It's going to react the same as if the trauma is internal or it's external. So I'm real careful with babies and really careful with their gut. But yeah, they're resilient. They have the ability to heal, and they're actually pretty quick.
That's great. That's a great point to make. I really appreciate that. You talked about your energy block, Janine. Let's see. Deborah Bartz, thank you for an excellent presentation. Looking forward to the class. Let's see. I think we got most of it. Mary Lynn just likes the discharge versus distraction. She said she's had to learn to distinguish those. Been a big learning. Mary, trying to be aware is a never-ending journey when the trauma from infancy and you have no memories. Only a therapist was able to identify the root of my eating disorder. Mm. Yeah, and I think, you know, that combination probably is a factor, right? If you have this trauma and, you know, maybe it was a car accident or trauma that was accidental, but you have this loving, caring, supportive family, you're breastfed and you're fed, you know, beautiful food, and you're in an environment where the stress is kept low, the ability to heal is going to be great. But if the trauma is maybe not an accident, and maybe it's a trauma inflicted by a family member or, you know, screaming, yelling parents, and you don't have that safe environment like you were talking about, I think that's more likely, and you're fed Twinkies for your first birthday and, you know, all the typical American ways of being. Kids cry and stick them in the crib and let them cry for hours and hours on end until they finally fall asleep. That's not good for babies.
Right. Well, and you bring up such an important point. And when we grow up in a stressful or traumatic home with abuse or neglect, that gets wired into our system, and we live in a very defensive place, and it's unconscious. We're not often aware. In fact, not remembering was how we survived. We don't remember necessarily with our conscious awareness, but our body remembers. Mm-hmm. I trust that the information will show up when we start to pay attention to it. And when we learn the language of the body and we learn to track the sensations, the information will show up. And it doesn't matter. The details of the story don't matter. What matters is what's still alive in the system that needs attention. Because every detail of the story is not necessarily a problem, right?
And a lot of people, that plays right into the next question that Martha asked because that telling is actually can be dangerous, because the subconscious hears it over and over. So it just relives and relives and relives and thinks it's happening over and over. But discharge is very different than retelling, right?
And discharge is just part of the healing process, because we might need to go rewire a new process into the system, right? If we are stuck in a stress pattern that worked as kids, it often doesn't work as well now that we're adults and we're not actually living in the same stress or trauma. So part of the process, and so much of the work that we do in transpersonal energy healing in the certification program, gives us the tools and techniques to be aware, but also to rewire a new pattern in the system and more effective.
And that leads beautifully into what Martha is asking, because it's, could some people really not want to change? And I'm going to just put that in quotes. She didn't, but I'm doing that, because they love the negative attention. So maybe we put a boundary as a practitioner. Is this what you definitely refer out? And when I hear they love the negative attention, that may be the defense pattern that they developed in childhood, because it was the only way they could get attention. And now as adults, it's wired in, and that has to be rewired.
Right. And we can get very attached to our identity as somebody who's been traumatized, or somebody who has cancer, or somebody who has a disease or a difficult situation. It becomes part of how we see ourselves in the world, as part of our identity. Mm-hmm. And it can be really hard on the ego to try and change that identity. Right? I run a group, and I had this amazing woman who got to the place in her healing early childhood sexual trauma. And she said, finally, at 32 years old, I feel like a survivor instead of a victim.
Oh, wow.
It took her years of therapy and years of self-help, years of lots of work to get to victim to survivor. Now she's working towards thriver.
Nice. Right?
But she was identified as a victim, and changing that was scarier to her than resolving it.
That's interesting. And that's we see a lot of that. And we see, especially in our healing practices, this happened to me. This is not, you know, happening from me. This is happening to me. And the blame gets pushed out here. And I'm not saying we want to take on blame by any stretch, but when we become the victim, it puts us in a lack of control, which was very beginning where you said, you know, that car going down over the waterfall. There's no control in that situation. Yeah. And when we're in a situation where there's no control, you know, we can go into that, just that mode, right?
Where we most of us are living in a defensive pattern.
Yeah.
Instead of being proactive in our life and making conscious decisions, we live in what's called procedural memory, which is we figured out how to survive a tough situation with the skills we had at the time. That gets wired into our system and we keep behaving that way, even though we have access to better skills.
Yeah.
Right. But it's habit. It's memory in our system. Yeah. And most of us live in our unconscious or subconscious habits.
Yeah.
We're not living from this fully aware, conscious place. And again, that's why this program is so helpful for you as a practitioner, but also as a human being to yeah. learn how to identify with the inner healer and the wiser part of you and not be so identified with the defensive part.
Exactly. Exactly. And Lynn Rose, yes, you signed up for it at the retreat. And check your inbox. There are 9 of you who would have gotten an email from us within the last couple of days that told you, hey, you're in for this class, because I wanted you to get it before the class to prevent you from signing up for it again in your excitement. I wanted you to know that you already have it. Had that happen a lot where people go, I love it, I love it, I love it, and they sign up for a course that they already signed up for. So, you know, we wanted to prevent that. So you should check your inbox. Like I said, Angelica, Lynn, Mary Lynn, I mean, there's a bunch of you that did sign up at the other event. Deborah, I can't remember all of you, but yeah. Okay, so we have questions. So who's in? Just type it in the chat if you're in. Let's see, I'm sure Kimberly, let's see. Well, I don't know what the work was about Jill. There was something about Jill. I'm so excited for the class. Let us know when to sign up for the 30-minute ACEs. So as soon as you sign up, you'll get a welcome email. And actually in that welcome email is Kimberly's email address. And she has, here's the link to the ACEs and here's where you sign up. So it's right there in your welcome email. So go ahead and check your inbox right away.
If my calendar link isn't there, don't worry. You will get an email with my calendar link so we can schedule that.
I think you just have your email in there, and if you want, we can change it to your calendar.
Right. We'll add my calendar. And definitely, I believe the link for the ACEs scores.
The link, I know that for sure because I checked that out, and I know that there was some way to get in touch with you once you said upload it and then sign up for your time or send email it to me and then sign up for time. So yeah, that's awesome. All right, let's see if there's anything else. Yeah, this is a good point too, Lynn, because I notice this. If I'm stressed, my sweat smells different. My sweat usually doesn't smell at all. Feeling added pressure and stress means you're feeling extra sweaty too. And that stress-induced sweat is made up of different ingredients than regular heat-induced sweat because it's produced in a different kind of sweat glands and typically leads to a worse smell. And I've had that experience of being like going into an interview or about to take a board exam and I'm like sweating profusely and I'm like, oh my God, I smell. And it's not the exercise sweaty socks kind of smell. It's very different. And so that might be the issue with the feet as well. So good point.
I recently had someone tell me that a young woman had such sweaty palms. It was embarrassing for her when she would date. And so they wanted to do surgery and cut the nerves. And I was like, what? Not even thinking about root cause, right? Let's just go in and slice the nerves. I was horrified.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wow. Awesome. All right. Let's see. Yeah, so Lynn is asking, people are saying if they just want to do it for themselves, this class will definitely help you to be able to do it with yourselves, with your children, you know, with the people, your loved ones in your life, even if you're not going to start a professional practice. And we all know, I think Jan Chamberlain was on earlier, I don't know if she's still on, but that happened with her. She came to me and said, can I do a new program so I could help my family members? You know, I really want to learn this stuff to really be able to help my family. And then within like a year, people found out she's in a program and they started giving her money to coach them on the nutritional piece. So it's like, you never know, right? You never know what path you're going to go down. And I always trust my gut. When I'm on a call like this and somebody offers something, sometimes I get this feeling like halfway through, I don't know what this person has or teaches, but I want it. Mm-hmm. And if you get that feeling, go with it. I mean, it's not like this is a $2,000-$10,000 investment. It's $200, $197. And, so it's just like, go with your gut feeling. And that's the energy flowing through you that's saying, I want this. I want this result.
And if you have a hard time tuning into that information, this class will help you because in Laura's class,
and
that is the case for many of my clients. When I first start working with them, they really have a hard time tuning into their own gut feeling and their own instincts. And that can be from trauma and stress. It wasn't safe to tune into your own sensations.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, Martha, you were not on that list that was signed up because you were not at Laura's retreat. So just go ahead and sign up now. You don't have to worry about that. And if you're not sure, think about this. If you were at Laura's 5-day class last fall, September, that's the only opportunity you would have had to sign up for the whole packet. So if you were not there, then you know, go ahead and sign up now. If you were, or Angelica, who came in and signed up for everything. Angelica decided she needed everything and she's signed up for everything. So, let's see. Wait. I feel less pain in my back already. Yay, Janine. Jill, yay. Janet signing up. Yay. I need a link so I can sign up. It's right in the chat, but it's the physiology. Lynn, would you repeat put it in the chat again? Physiologyoftrauma.com. Physiologyoftrauma.com. Yay. Yvonne said definitely signing up. Yay. Physiologyoftrauma.com. You can just click that out of the chat and you'll get there. Hyperhidrosis. That's excess sweating. Maybe that's why guys always smell bad on first dates. I love that. Yes, you got them in their nervous sweat. Got it. I love that. Okay, no smell explains a lot. I had boys that smell was always something mentioned. When does Dr. Rita Marie offer the year-long program again? What is the certification? Lifelong learner. Okay, so we have nutritional endocrinology is our program. It's actually 2 years. You can finish it in 1 year if you have a lot of free time to do that. And reach out to Lynn, neptapply.com. We'll give you more about that. Angelica signed up for that and all of Laura's stuff. And if you're interested in like, what's Laura's program? I want that whole program. Then again, I would say reach out to us and we'll sit down with you and explain what all the classes are and what the price is. And if you need a payment plan, we'll structure a payment plan that works for you. And many of the folks in here have gone through all of that, all of Laura's and all of mine. And some of you are about to graduate, but they've done it, kind of piecemeal throughout the year. So I think Angelica, you were the first one that actually went and did the whole thing at one time. Lynn says a good thing, and this is how I always make decisions about whether I'm going to do something or not. I say, where will I be in 6 months if I don't do it, if I just continue what I'm doing now? Where will I be? Well, I'll probably be in the same place I am right now. So whether it was for business, I'm just kind of seeing patients here and there. And if I don't take this class and learn how to do group programs, or I don't take this class and learn how to do whatever, I'll probably be in the same place in 6 months. That question that Lynn put in there, write it down. It's priceless for when you're sitting with clients and you're offering them a package for them, to work with you to get their health back. It's a great question to ask. So let me tell you, I see you're on the fence here. Where will you be in 6 months? You think you'll be in same health, worse health, or better health if you don't do anything? And it's the same thing here. If you feel like these skills will help you, where will you be in 6 months? And this is a real easy yes because of such a low investment. It's $197 versus, a multi-$1,000 investment, for signing up for a whole year. You're signing up for a week. Really, a week of intense, amazing transformation. After that, you'll probably want to sign up for the whole year. Janine said she signed up and the emails arrived. Yay! All right. I don't see anything else. I'll look in that. I really so appreciate you being here tonight and sharing all this wonderfulness with everybody. And whether or not you decide to go forward with this and move on, I would say you've still got enough information tonight to change your way of looking at this. You may not have all the tools, because obviously in 45 minutes to an hour, we can't teach you everything you need to know. I wish life was like that. You decide on a topic you want to master. 45 minutes later, you've got it. Wouldn't that be nice? But it always takes some study and some investment. And I believe it's always good to study with somebody who's been there, done that, as opposed to just trying to read it out of a book is very challenging, in my opinion. The experiential work, when you work with Laura, when you work with Kimberly, you get to actually put into action what you're learning, like doing little activities that help to shift you, not just intellectually on your left brain, but just in this energy being of yours, the emotional energy being. That I think is just so, so important. So if there's no other questions, thank you so much. I'm going to just open, I muted you, Laura, because there was some noise in your background. But if you have anything more to say, Laura, in closing, I would love to hear it. And then I'll let Kimberly close as well.
Well, I'm just super excited to have this intensive happening. And thank you, Kimberly, for all the amazing groundwork you just provided, and I'm really excited about what's going to come next and how you're going to unfold this so that it really becomes in our bodies how to address this trauma, because for sure it's showing up in every single client that you have. So absolutely necessary and needed. And Rita Marie, thank you too for bringing us all together, to being the magic glue that brings us all together, and to have the brilliance of you at the helm is just so inspiring to me. So yeah. I can't wait for more. Thank you.
And I can't wait to be on both of these sessions again, if I'm welcome. So I thank you. Kimberly, do you have any parting last words?
No, I just reiterate what Laura said. It's just a great opportunity. I'm so grateful for that you've created this platform for us to be able to share this really important information, whether you're a practitioner or just a person who has relationships. You know, if you're alive and you have relationships, you probably will benefit from understanding this. It'll give you some tools for yourself, and to be able to recognize and have more compassion for yourself and other people, and some tools to manage your way through it. So grateful. And I look forward to all of you being with us on this process and this journey. And thank you for taking the time to listen to me tonight. I'm so grateful.
Great. Thank you, everybody. Remember, Physiology of Trauma.com. We'll send an email to everybody who registered for this afterwards, probably go out first thing in the morning, to remind you to sign up before tomorrow evening to get the extra bonuses. So I highly, if you're thinking about it, you know, make it happen before then, because the bonuses are so, so, so worthwhile. All right. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.